1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Great to have you here. Big news today. Scientists, for the first time ever, successfully editing genes in human embryos to basically repair disease-causing mutations, producing healthy embryos. This is in a brand-new report just released today. What does this mean? Are we now heading into a new frontier? Let's ask Sheldon Krimsky, a bioethicist at Tufts University, author of many books, including Stem Cell Dialogues, a philosophical and scientific inquiry into medical frontiers. Sheldon, great to have you on WILS.
Good to be here, yeah.
Is this, now, how big of a step is this in terms of entering a new frontier?
Well, it's certainly big for American science. The Chinese have done a similar study that wasn't so successful. So this is the first American study. Actually, there are many Europeans on the co-author the article, but the primary author is an American scientist. And it is a big jump because it takes us into a new arena. Let me say that since 1982, there has been a divide, a moral divide, between genetically modifying cells, ordinary cells in the body, or persons, people, and genetically modifying embryos or sperm or eggs.
What's the ethical issue there in dealing with the embryos?
Well, the ethical issue is that you are creating change that's heritable, that will go on and on and on and on. And if you make a mistake, it will go on and on and on and on, you see.
It sounds like
so
a problem.
So that's the negative side of it. Also, it opens up the door if people don't know where to stop, then we're going to move from trying to eradicate in an embryo a disease gene to going into an arena where we want to perhaps improve the genes of an individual.
Is that a bad
thing? To enhance the genes.
Is that a bad thing, though? Or?
Well, some people believe it is not the right way to go. We spend a lot of federal money in doing research on genetics, and there are a lot of people, actually most people in the country, from a recent study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, do not want us to enter the arena of genetically modifying eggs, sperm, and embryos.
We are talking to Sheldon Krimsky, bioethicist at Tufts University. Now, you said the Chinese, are they now ahead of us then in this field?
It's not clear who's ahead. They certainly have a lot of robust research. They have no compunction about working with embryos. The United States has a law that says that you can't use federal funds to work on genetically modify embryos. So the work that was done on the West Coast by Mitalipov was done with private funds and not federal funds.
And they were using human embryos then for the research?
Yes, they used human embryos for the research. They used sperm that had a genetic mutation, that would make people more prone to getting heart disease. They used healthy eggs, and they fertilized the eggs, and then they tried to undo the gene that had the mutation in it.
Okay, so have there been humans that have been raised after having their genes altered this way?
We've never genetically modified an embryo and brought it to term.
And the Chinese have not either, is that right?
Oh, no, they haven't done that either, no. It's only about the research and looking at the research. Of course, you know, on one side, you have the issue of, is it safe? And one of the things that this research showed us is that it could be pretty darn safe. And that's the Chinese research had a lot of off-target effects, and this research, this study, had minimal adverse effects, if any.
When you say off-target effects, like what kinds?
Oh, yes. That means when you are editing the genes in an embryo, it's possible that the sequences that you put in and the DNA and the RNA that you put in could affect another part of the genome. And if it does, it could cause a mutation in another part of the genome, and that's called an off-target effect. So if you could limit it to only the area that you want, that would be the safest way to do it. Sort of like if you imagine editing a manuscript with one of the word processors, like Word or something like that, and you know, and you want to just edit one particular word, you could do that, but sometimes it might edit two words because they're the same words or closely. They would be the same words, but in different parts of the manuscript. So it is possible to cause a change in a part of the genome in another part that you don't want.
So how close are we then? The research is ongoing now. How close are we, do you think, to having one of these embryos that are genetically modified being grown into a full human?
Very far away. There's so much that has to be asked. And the FDA, which would be in charge of doing this, would have to look at such things as off-target effects, and they would have to have a lot of good animal studies to start with to show that you can do this without having these other effects on the organism. You'd have to look at the organism for a few generations to see whether or not the effects can be seen in a few generations. Mm-hmm. You have to look at other things other than just the genes. You'd have to look at what they call the epigenome. That means the proteins that surround the DNA. Mm-hmm. They're the switches that turn the genes on and off.
Okay. It sounds so complex. Do you think we'll ever really master this, or is this science fiction, or how do you say?
Oh, science is remarkable and persistent. I suspect that sometime, somewhere, somebody will do this, perhaps, and produce a child. Mm-hmm. There are about 24 countries that have legislation or rules against manipulating embryos for creating germline changes. I don't know if they will change their mind.
Mm-hmm. So if one country were to do that, would it be China, in your view?
Well, they have an extremely active reproductive science group there, and also the British don't have any of the restrictions that we have in the United States. They have already approved a process in which a child will be born with three genomes, that is, from contributions from three people. The genome of the child will have parts of the genome of three people. Mm-hmm. That's already been approved in the UK, but it hasn't been accomplished yet. But don't forget, it was in the UK that they first had success with in vitro fertilization.
Mm-hmm. So really, they were kind of revolutionary.
In Scotland, they cloned Dolly, the sheep. So they are moving quickly as well.
Yeah. So in your view, in terms of the benefits to us as humans, are we heading in the right direction in this research?
No, I don't think so. There's so much that has to be done in human health that when you ask the question, what's the best case scenario for using this technology, it would be an extremely small number of people. Very, very small number. Most of the people who have a damaged gene or a gene that's abnormal, that can be screened out by what they call pre-implantation genetic analysis. So they have a half a dozen eggs from the mother that have been fertilized, and they can check each egg, and if any of the eggs have the deleterious gene, they won't use it. They'll only use the egg that has the corrective gene. So they can do that now, and they do do that. And the National Academy has said that unless there's no reasonable alternative, mm-hmm. we shouldn't be what we call crossing the germ line mm-hmm. and entering this arena.
Crossing the germ line, that's an interesting term.
Yeah, that's the terminology that's used. It's the germ line. It's the germ cells or the cells, simply spoken, it's the egg cell or the sperm or the embryo.
Yeah, I mean, is there some kind of utopian vision that we could produce humans that, you know, live much longer and are much healthier, that kind of thing?
Oh, yes. There's groups of people who would like to see that.
Mm-hmm. And in your view, is that potential real in some ways if we could really figure this thing out?
I would never try to guess what humans could do in terms of improvement of other species or even its own species. If mm-hmm. the word improvement is generally recognized, we have done extraordinary things with vaccinations in stopping diseases spread throughout the world, like mm-hmm. smallpox. So humans are an extraordinary species.
Yeah. Could we, for example, extend human life by a significant amount through this kind of gene alteration?
I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah.
But again, there's very simple ways to extend life right now that we're not utilizing.
Right.
Saving lives. And, it depends if we want to just help a few dozen people or if we want to help the great numbers of people. Very rich people might want to utilize this with their own resources if they think they might live a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows whether or not that will be achieved.
Yeah, but, it's an amazing thing that they can even do this kind of thing. I assume these, microscopes and this kind of thing right there?
Oh, it's very complex, and you have to understand the intricacies of the chemicals that go in to make the genetics of the body,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be extremely well trained to be able to undertake this kind of research.
Incredible. Sheldon Krimsky, a bioethicist at Tufts University, has written many books, including Stem Cell Dialogues, a philosophical and scientific inquiry into medical frontiers. It's Sheldon Krimsky right here on 1320 WILS. Sheldon, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.